And hello there. This is Fish and Frank, and in the chair across from me is Robert, and we're back.
Yes. Very, very good thing.
Yes, we're back. Radio fishing is alive and well, and we've got all kinds of stuff we're going to do for you, part of which we're going to be asking people to send us fishing songs, music that they've written, that we can... My guitar sounds really terrible on the thing here. Okay, the crowd died off. But we're back. Radio fishing on the air. Yes, indeedy. Me and Robert again.
Hopefully a lot more people will be happy now.
Well, that's enough of the music. Okay. Done. Yes, I decided to drag my guitar out after, you know, 30-some years of not playing it. It's probably a good thing I wasn't playing it. But we do have our own music. I got some songs I wrote. That's the first time I tried picking up guitar and playing it while I talked in a while.
Right.
You know, that's tough.
It's not like the days back in when we're on the stage.
No, not. I don't know what happened to me over the years. I guess, you know, you get out of practice with all that stuff. But anyway.
Life got in the way,
yes. I actually became Fish and Frank, not Guitar Player Frank.
Right, exactly.
So, let's see, what are we going to do today? I guess we need to do a walk around the harbor, a little area fishing report, kick back off and get things started. Where are we going to start? We've been off the air for a week or two now, so...
Right. I'm going to say let's start up at the 75 or Harbor Heights area.
Okay.
Work our way down and around.
All right. We can do that. Let's see. Harbor Heights. Now, I know there's a bunch of tarp in there first thing in the morning.
Yeah. There's been a lot of little, I mean, from juveniles all the way up to full-blown adults all over up there. From Shell Creek all the way down to the 75 bridge. There's also been a lot of little redfish, even some bigger oversized redfish around some of the islands, and the mangrove snapper have been really, really good.
So, go ahead. I'm kind of checking out the board. I've got to reset everything up. I don't know if we're actually set up correctly or if we're not set up correctly, but we're going to do the first show. If you only get us on one side of your speakers, it's because I don't have everything all set up yet. But... anyway, down around 975, we caught a lot of redfish there the other day.
Yeah. I'm just glad you got out.
Yeah, didn't really get anything for snook, but we got some redfish. We had a couple of catfish, some ladyfish, got a cow nose ray. I actually bit the hook. I mean,
yeah, which is really neat because it doesn't happen very often.
No, he was actually in the mouth with the cow nose. Usually they fly through the line and get snagged up, and then the fight is on. Oh my God, you get a cow nose on, you think you got a cross between a bonefish, a tarpon, and a black drum. Yeah. Just line goes screaming out at, you know, 25 miles an hour, and next thing you know, all of a sudden, you see the splashing at the top where the wings are hitting, you know.
Yep.
But
definitely fun, though.
Oh, their cow nose is a lot of fun on a rod and reel.
Yeah.
Actually, crazy fun. But, I was trying to think of what else we caught up there. We caught a pretty good variety of fish up around 975. A lot of small redfish up there. A few bigger ones. Now, one of the guys was fishing on the seawall up there by Harbor Heights. He caught almost 12 redfish in a couple hours, and they were all keepers.
Wow, here you go. That's pretty impressive.
He didn't keep any. He'd already had... he said, if I can't get a snook, I'm not keeping a fish. So he was there sitting there. And I think for the first time in his life, actually kind of cussing the redfish because he wanted a snook, and he was like 12 slot-sized redfish. So that's what's going on the Peace River.
I heard your father did good at the 41 Bridge, too, the other day.
Yeah, they got some nice sharks out there. Did they get a cobia, lose a couple cobia?
I think they lost one, if I overheard right.
I think the dad lost a cobia up there, and they got one big shark up to the boat and let it go. It was like 8-footer or something like that, monster shark.
Oh, wow. You didn't even tell me about that one.
Yeah, they had a big one. Fought it for, I don't know, 40 minutes, followed it with the boat, and finally got it up close enough and lost it right next to the boat.
Nice.
Then they caught some smaller fish, smaller sharks, like black tips, sharp nose type stuff.
Can I take one just for a demonstration?
Sure. Okay. Sure, go right ahead.
I didn't know that you had
them for special. Mm-hmm. And Jeff was asking me about borrowing a rod, so... Anyway, yeah, go ahead, Jeff. Anyway, we're, yes, radio fishing is so well done.
At its finest. Hey.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, but you know what? This is a phenomenal feel. It's still got that mom and pop feel to it, just like the rest of the shop does. So it's
I want to know one thing. Are you mom or are you pop? I'm getting a little worried about this, but I think it's more like pop and pop here, buddy.
You keep losing the weight, you know, you never know. You might look better in that dress than I would.
I am getting to be rather skinny, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
Okay. That's why I didn't get french fries in my burger today.
Oh, there you go.
I'm not going to do the french fries because I'm going to try and keep this slim, you know. So much easier to bend over. You know, if I got to reach something on the ground, I can actually get to it now rather than having...
Without making some really weird noises?
Oh, no. I still got the old guy grunts. I don't know what happened with that, but why is it you hit a certain age and all of a sudden you lean over and go, oh. You know, there's got to be a, you know, the old guy grunting there somewhere. I don't know what the heck that's about, but all of a sudden, just one day, I started doing it. I don't even remember it being that tough, but anyway, I'm trying not to do it. I'm specifically avoiding the old guy grunts, but back to the canals in Port Charlotte.
Well, the canals are starting to slow down a little bit up inside, depending on the canal system you're on. The mouths of the canals have been real, real steady.
What's up with the Spanish mackerel in the canals? There's still Spanish mackerel up the canals. Got to be a food thing.
I would say so, but I mean, everything about the Spanish mackerel this year has been totally off. I mean, we've talked about it before. Why is it that they want shrimp over a spoon like 10 to 1?
Yeah.
I mean, it's silly, so...
And not even... Usually I use a popping cork, catch a bunch of them, and they wanted free-line shrimp this year.
Right.
What was up with that? And there was more in the canals, I think, than in the harbor. First year I've ever seen that.
Yeah. It's really, really random. I don't know. There's a whole lot of weird things going on. We actually...
I gave up on fishing, you know, rules for fishing and just said, well, pretty close kind of guidelines.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's just, yeah, well, the Spanish mackerel are going to do whatever they want to do.
Exactly.
There's no rules anymore.
Yeah. What was it?
I wanted rules. I was expecting rules.
Wasn't it like Pirates of the Caribbean or something like that that said, you know, these are supposed to be like pirate rules, and they said, yeah, they're really more like guidelines.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, it's kind of more like a guideline.
Lots of room for error.
Yeah, there's a little bit of room for error in here. You can slide a bit to the left or to the right. Yeah. No problem, mi hearty.
Exactly. I know that the snake...
Why is it you have to make a face when you do that?
I don't know, because there's probably no real way to make that noise without not looking silly.
Yeah, I was just sitting there going, boy, I'm really making a weird face by doing that arg. Did it again.
Exactly.
I can't do the arg without, in a pirate voice, without making, you know, like the big lip come up thing.
Just anyway. An instinctive thing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, folks. Yeah, it's been a while, so it's going to take me a little while to settle down and get back into this. All right. But anyway.
The snook have been really, really weird, in my canal especially. I mean, overall speaking, it's been pretty lousy behind my house.
Yeah.
Not hearing them popping, not catching them. It's been...
Been great behind my place up in the river.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Been pretty lousy.
There should be in the warehouse. There should be a whole bunch of them. Unless... Is that one okay? Makes just... Yeah, no. There's... What about... No, the... I don't... There's a cases of them in the warehouse on the rack.
The
lady wants a Fish and Frank's fishy, one of the pink ones. And oh, by the time, you know, our whole line of Fish and Frank's rods are actually in California. They're in customs right now. As soon as they clear customs, I would say they're going to be here week, 2 weeks tops. But I got my final bill for them, sent them the money, and the Fish and Frank's rods, the purple ones, the sea foam, the green, the white and blue camo, the one everybody's waiting on, that gray camo, that... I bet you I got 80 of those pre-sold. That's all. They're all going to be here very, very soon. Could be next week.
That'll be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited about seeing those rods. Because all of it, you know, you only get to see prototypes. They have prototypes back and forth to China. And so far, and I have not seen any of the camel ones in person. We opted to trust our inspector. We hired a company.
A liaison.
Yeah, he goes into China, and he's got agents there and here, and they inspect the stuff, make sure it's going to be nice, and make sure the colors are right, and all that. And not often, I guess you got to say, make sure the colors are right on fishing rods. But we're working...
Is it black, or is it black?
Yeah, and with these are all really neat colors. I mean, we went really crazy on the colors and took a general consensus from everybody here and bought a bunch of different colors, and they're really... really cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to see them.
So far it's the strongest blank I've ever seen. It makes a Terramar look like a wuss.
I'm gonna get a purple one.
Yeah, that purple one.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you that's gonna be a number one seller, that purple rod.
I like it.
I'm gonna say gray camo is gonna be first, but that white camo, if it comes out as nice as what I thought it was going to,
yeah, if it looks good. It did with the photos of it, it should be pretty darn impressive.
Yeah, it's a lot of money on a guess. But we'll see. Hopefully they come out nice. But anyway, the Fish and Frank's rods are in California clearing customs, and they should be to us very soon. So back to, we were doing Porch Hollow Canal, weird snook fishing, nothing behind your house, a lot of snook behind my house, but I'm up on the river.
Guys are doing fairly well trolling through the canals, but it's like one day it's this canal that's real good, the next day it's this canal that's real good. It's just been very, very hit or miss, you know, so... The mangrove snapper, same way. I mean, the guys that are fishing back there, they're catching a few mangrove snapper here, but then they move over to the next canal over and start whacking them.
Yeah, I got no idea what's going on. Like we said, guidelines.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, hop around, you know, fish someplace, you know, half hour, 40 minutes. If you don't get anything, move to the next spot because
exactly.
There's nothing there. It's not waiting for them to turn on. But now, today we got real good tides today for fishing. Good incoming tide. We're getting about a foot. 1.2, 1.3 of water moving in, and that makes for a real good incoming tide. And incoming tide kind of puts us over towards the Myakka cutoff, because right. If you can get in there, like this morning, I think it was like a 0.2, and you go in there, it was going to be a 1.4 later in the day, or just almost now. I mean, it's almost...
Yeah,
almost
it should be about now.
Yeah, well, no, it's only about 1 o'clock. I think it's about 3.
Oh, okay.
And I don't have my reading glasses here. Yes, I'm old. I need reading glasses. But it was a little bit later in the afternoon, mid-afternoon. But it's going to be, that's some nice water movement. And that's the key to getting those fish hitting. And in my cutoff, there's still been a few mackerel at the mouth, some trout. But the redfish, scattered.
Very scattered.
You got to hunt.
Don't spend more than about 5 or 10 minutes on each spot and keep moving. You know, that's been the general consensus for the last couple of weeks with redfish everywhere, for that matter.
And big snook back there.
Been some really, really
monster snook back there. Way over keeper, you know, 40-some inches on the snook. And there's actually quite a few of them back there. But you're going to have to switch to bigger topwaters in the morning. You can't throw that little thing, and it's not...
No.
You got to put a bigger lure on to entice those big ones up. Work it slow, pop, stop, you know. Don't keep them moving. Just nice and, you know, hard, sharp movements, and give that big, old, fat fish. It's kind of like me 3 months ago. I needed a lot more incentive to get up and move. You know, too big, too fat.
Yep. It's the thing is also, you know, the snook are getting ready to go into their pre-spawning mode, so they're trying to build up some of their fat. They've burned off all of their fat reserves all winter long up in these canals. So they're trying to gain some of that back, you know, and get some of their energy back. So they've been going in some really bizarre feeding patterns. And right now, the bigger baits, I think, are going to be more your action than the littler baits.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, how many calories do I have to expend to get this meal?
Yeah.
And a bigger bait, they can swallow one meal and get a bunch of, you know, calories, fat, protein, whatever it is, we'll say. But... anyway, if you're going over Myakka River, it's got some small sharks in it.
Small sharks. There's been a few incidental cobia around. Out on the flats there around Hog Island, there's still been a few oddball pompano around. Not a lot, but a few.
I wonder why they're holding up towards the fresh water more.
I don't know.
I would think they'd be out more towards the beaches, and it's more scattered out along the beaches than it is up in the Myakka or over towards Alligator Creek and stuff.
The only thing I can figure is that it's just that that whole flat there is so beautiful and such nice grass and stuff.
And there's no boats.
No boats. I mean, even the crabbers don't put a lot of crab pots up on it very often, so it's just, it's a very nice grass flat, and it's probably the only grass flat that I can think of that's beautiful on this end of the harbor.
Yeah. Yep. You know? Shallow, and it's just about the right depth to get some sunlight, to get some grass going, a lot of sand, a lot of grass mixture, and yeah. It doesn't get fish much. Everybody comes out, they turn left and go south.
Right.
And very few people go up in that area, so yeah. Could be the reason it's going good. The west side's been a little slow going up and down the west side. I think it's that rainwater coming out of the river.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to one of the guys the other day up on the Upper Peace River, and he said it's pretty high from all the rain we've been having already.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, relatively speaking for what it is this time of year. I don't know what the height is. I know you're going to look it up because you're good about that.
I'm going on fishandfranks.com right now.
But, you know, it's not enough to really totally stir up the bottom here yet, but it's enough where it would affect the habits of the fish without a doubt, and where they're going to be staged up. That might explain some of the randomness of the river itself.
And if you want to see what I'm looking at, you go to fishandfranks.com, then go to Weather and Tides. And then at the bottom of the page, click the Peace River button. Now, the first one is a flow chart, discharge cubic feet per second, and I don't know much about that. But the second one on the bottom is a height graph. And it was it was over 2 feet, and now it's back down to a foot. So there's no water coming down the river right now for some reason. I mean, it was about a week ago, and that's just kind of, it take a little while to clear out. If it doesn't raise up, if you, once you understand this graph by any understanding, 2 feet of water in Arcadia means there's not much water coming at us at all. It's very, very little. By the time it gets down like it is right now at 1 3/4 feet, there's little or no water coming down that river.
Right, and about 1.5 to 1 3/4 is pretty much standard throughout the wintertime, isn't it?
And that's just whatever water's kind of hanging out there. But there's no water actually flowing at that point. That's just kind of sitting there.
Right.
But what he's seen, if you're south or west of Horse Creek, once you get up to Horse Creek, the main part of the river there, it pretty much dries up. And a few hundred yards up, there's actually like a mini waterfall there. It's kind of neat when you're taking the boat up, because when the tide comes up, you can get up over that. You literally have to go up over this little 6-inch falls, and fresh water stays on top of that, salt water's on the bottom of it.
I've never noticed that.
Yeah, it's about, I'd say, might even be 10 inches, but it's just a little ledge on the gravel, and when you're going up, you got to go up over it, and then you get to fall over it coming down. It's kind of cool.
But yeah, I've been up there with you a couple times. I just never noticed it before.
Well, it's more pronounced now than it was. It wasn't that pronounced, and for some reason or other, it actually has a drop-off there. I don't know if the gravel piled up, or if it was a sinkhole there or something.
Oh, that's kind of neat. I got to learn something new today.
It was really, it's pretty cool, but it's a real definite boundary between the fresh and salt waters. And it's just after Horse Creek, before Iron Lake there. And it's actually really cool. Last time I was up there, I was a little worried about taking the boat up over it. I didn't know if the prop would, dig down as the boat came up,
and right.
We got right over it, no problem, but we had a little more water then,
right.
But anyway, so if he's seen a lot of water, it's definitely not river flow, it's just wind and tide,
right?
And that wind and tide affects it all the way up to Horse Creek.
Okay,
so anyway, coming past back down into the harbor here,
the west wall
was a little slow.
Yeah, it's a lot slow. I mean, out on the bar is doing well for some miscellaneous sharks of assorted sizes. The trout have been scattered all over on it. The redfish, there's even been a few incidental big bull reds out on the bar itself, but they're like in singles and deuces. And then as you get down close to the Cape Hayes bar, there's a lot more bonnet heads, a few trout, but most of them are on the small side. Quite a few ladyfish kind of popped up recently over there too.
I haven't heard much from Turtle Bay or Bull Bay. Bull Bay I've heard a little bit more about, because you can get there easier from Boca. But I haven't heard much about Turtle Bay.
Turtle Bay's been, it's steady with the redfish, but the guys that are doing the most success there are moving. They're just kind of either drifting or slow trolling motor and pitching the bushes, letting the bait sit for 2 to 5 minutes, and then they go to the next little spot.
That's a long time, just pick, I would say.
They're just picking 15 one here.
To 15 seconds to a minute, you know.
Yeah, I mean, one fish here, two fish here, then no fish for a couple hundred yards, then two fish here. It's been, it's still scattered, but those redfish have all been in like that 20 to 25 inch range. Mm-hmm. They're not catching anything big and not anything undersized.
Anything trout wise in the middle of that?
Little ones. A lot of little fish. There's been the occasional really nice one, but the majority of them are on the smaller side.
Now, out in front of Turtle Bay, Bull Bay, all along that whole sandy area out there, some monster snook, a lot of shorts, a lot of dinks, but a lot of big fish moving out there, a lot of big females moving up into there.
Yeah, a lot of fish coming out of Gallagher's Cut and working along that whole side along the sandbar and hitting out, but they're there for an hour and then they're gone. And then another little group comes in or another big group comes in, so they're constantly rotating. So just because you don't find them there at this moment when you're coming back by, look again because
there's fish there.
They're rotating just, pretty well.
They're moving on. I think, the way to look at that. But Bull Bay's got some big snook in the back. Still some nice snook along over about close to the houseboats. Mm-hmm. But out front, again, with the snook. But redfishmen more scattered around the bushes there. More behind Bull Bay. I don't really know what we call that area
Whidden
back
Bay.
There. Whidden Bay back in
kind
there.
Kind of the back entrance turtle or bull.
Yeah, that around that back entrance. You're going to find more redfish back there than you are out in the actual Bull Bay proper. But let's see, some trout, some big ladyfish in there the other day. They said they were catching 3 to 5 pounders in there.
Yeah, there's been some big nurse sharks cruising around all through there, too. I've been hearing of some guys seeing some nice nurse sharks and a few big lemons cruising up on that flat.
Yeah, I don't mind the nurse for some reason, but the thought of it like an 8-9 foot lemon shark if in one of those technical skiffs.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that would hurt.
Yeah, that'd be pucker up time.
Yeah.
So, anyway, back out towards the intercoastal, devilfish, we're in little tiny bits of white bait around devilfish, sandfly, along that intercoastal section, but every time you hear of a report, they're gone because, I mean, too many boats hitting them.
They're not even giving them a chance to breed. Every year they're getting worse and worse, finding them earlier and earlier and earlier and just hammering them.
Yeah, it's...
And I think this year is a combination, personally, I think it's a combination of... Yes, we've been whacking them every year, and I'm responsible for it just like anybody else. But whacking them every year on top of it being on that low cycle where Mother Nature just says this is the bad year.
Right.
You know, and you get those two combinations with where we keep beating them up every year, not allowing them to at least breed once.
Yeah.
Just, we're going to feel it bad.
Year where the bait's just not going to come back.
Yeah. There's definitely going to be that. There's going to be one of these days where it's going to take years and years for it to come back, if it does come back.
No, it'd take 2-3 years. I watched the redfish do it. I've watched the other species, and they're much more prolific. But, it would definitely be a 2-3 year.
And, it cracks me up because, I mean, you compare this coast to the other coast. And if you go just straight line over to Stewart and go straight south, our coast from here down to Everglades City, all they want is to throw a cast net and catch all the bait they can. Doesn't matter if it's especially white bait or pinfish. You go over to the other coast, cast nets are like unheard of being used to catch bait over there hardly ever, except for the occasional thread fins. When the mullet run, they try to get those. And the only time they really use cast nets over there is for ballyhoo. You know, even though they've got a fairly good population of white bait and stuff, not nearly what we do.
But only good for 8 feet of water, maybe 10 or 12.
But even that intercoastal down there, they still got a lot of nice grass flats, and those guys just don't mess with them nearly as much as they do over here. I mean, they use shrimp, cut bait.
It's nice out right now. I hate to do this to you, but I just clicked on the live weather thing on fishandfranks.com, and wow. I mean, it's beautiful out. It's 72.9 degrees with 5-mile-an-hour winds out of the northeast, and it's gusting a whole 9 miles an hour.
Wow.
Boy, it'd be a great day to be out on the water.
Today would be a gorgeous day to be out on the water.
Well, let's go up to Placida.
Reality is a drag sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, we're here in our gorgeous studios in downtown Charlotte Harbor. Just, I think we could put a broom to this. Put a broom to the room.
Blower might work.
Yeah, a bomb might work. You know, just blow it out and start over again. But I think we got to paint this. Because we're gonna be doing more video and stuff very soon. We got some bunch of that coming up. But anyway, Placida. I haven't heard much for sheephead. A lot
sheep's
of sharks.
Sheephead moved out quick. They did not mess around with moving out. There's still fish around, but when that water temperature hit 70 degrees and stayed there for like 5 days, they ran. I mean, they started running big time. There's quite a few of them offshore, but inside, the majority of them, what you're finding are just residual fish that are either year-round residents or the few lost ones that took their time leaving. It's been pretty bizarre.
It's a heck of a range of water temperatures in the Gulf. I was just looking up at the water temperature charts, and it's still in the like the 60s all the way up in the Panhandle, and then it gets down all the way into the eight, almost pretty much in the 80s by the time you hit the Keys. We're still in that moderate 70s.
What are we, around 73, 74?
Probably about there, yeah. Yeah, that would be my guess. But actually, the warmer temperatures, you know, it's warming up a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen quick. I mean, I think just like in the wintertime, we waited so long for it to get cold, and then it finally hit it, and it was quick.
Yeah,
it just took a long time to get there, but when it got there, it stayed there, and I think the same thing's going to happen with this spring. You know, we're still a few degrees below.
Keep forgetting it's only March.
No, it's April.
April, yeah. I mean, I keep forgetting it's only April.
Right.
It feels like it should be June or July. You know what I mean?
Right.
It just feels late in the year for April.
Yeah, it's definitely been odd.
Anything else going around?
Really good mangrove snapper bite. In the evening, they've been getting some really big ones, like 1 to 2 pounders. Not giants, but for inside, that's
nice
really,
fish.
Really big.
Really tasty fish.
Mainly in the evening at night is bycatching. Not many, but enough. Few snook have been down there pretty well at night. A lot of miscellaneous sharks. Some tarpon still rolling around, or starting to roll around, I should say.
A lot of tarpon around. I mean, Carl was coming back in, and this goofball, he's coming up from south, and he came up just after he got past Alligator Creek, just up by Mangrove Point. All of a sudden, he sees tarpon shooting up out of the water, these little two-footers, and next thing you know, big old shark just nails one of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's definitely tarpon out there.
Yeah, they've been around for a few weeks, and we've talked about how long they've been out there. It's just been so sporadic because of the cooler weather. They don't have to roll. People don't understand that tarpon only roll because they need the oxygen and because they need to buoyant themselves in the water. You know, so if the water temperature is fine, that there's enough dissolved oxygen in the water, and they're not exerting a lot of energy and they're staying in that shallower water, they don't need to buoyant themselves, so they don't need to come up and gulp all that air. You know, so
right.
The fish that are out there are just staying settled nice on the bottom, and because they're so scattered, they're not wadded up in the big nuts of fish like you're used to seeing. They're in 1 to like 10 fish. You know, very, very scattered little amounts. So you just got to be kind of real vigilant with your eyeballs and look along the edges of the water in that 5 to 7 feet of water and just look for a couple big logs laying there just slowly drifting along.
So I guess that would put us right along the beaches there. From Placida, there wasn't that much talk about. Along the beaches, you're going to find a few tarpon here and there.
Yeah.
There are a few Spanish mackerel, a little bit of whiting, some pompano.
Yeah, I think the main thing that's been most common out along the beaches right now has been the whiting, and then there's been a good mixture of sharks from little 3-foot guys.
Is whiting your go-to fish? Is that like, okay, I don't know anything about that spot, so I'm just going to say whiting?
No, not really, because, I mean, you get such weird reports on them every now and then.
I'm not trying to bust your chops. I'm just curious if you have, like, a default setting. Like, on the computer, it says virus, and it won't tell you really what it is, but it's just, you know, like, the default. You know, when you walk into the doctor, oh, you have a virus.
Yeah.
They don't have a clue. I was just wondering if
upper respiratory infection.
Right.
Blanket statement, you know.
So I was just wondering if whiting was your kind of catch-all.
No, I mean, I think that's just because they are fairly prevalent out there that you can consistently catch at least one or two.
We need some stargazers going again out there.
Yeah.
I'd like to. I wonder what happened that years ago we caught so many and then we had a couple and then we don't see them anymore.
Yeah. Well, it's the same way with sea bass.
Yeah, we used to catch a lot of sea bass here.
Yeah, I mean, when was the last time you personally caught or saw a black sea bass out there?
Long time.
It's been easily probably, I'll bet you it's been more than 10 years since I've personally seen one.
Yeah, I've seen couple pictures of them in the last few years, but I've that's it.
I've had the oddball incidental person come in with photographs of them or whatever, but it's just kind of weird.
No, it's really weird. So, anyway,
let's see. You know, up in Lemon Bay, it's been a little bit on the sporadic side also. I think because we're in such a weird transition phase that one day you hear about how great it is and the next day you hear about how terrible it is. And I think because those fish are in such little tiny spots where it's just comfortable, whether there's that little bit of bait that's made it past the cast nets is bunched up, and that guy happens to coincidentally get into that group of fish that's feeding on them, and then it's a difference of 100 yards. I mean, a difference of 100 yards might as well be 2,000 miles for some of these fish. You know,
oh, absolutely.
And I think that's why you're hearing so many scattered reports, because these fish are moving around so much that one guy whacks them and another guy does horrible.
So, anyway, but out a little further in the Gulf, we've got some great fishing out there.
It's been incredible.
I saw some of the most spectacular video I've ever seen.
That is just awesome.
It's so cool. Just feeding like a school of bonita. I mean, just pounding you like you would picture jacks feeding.
Yeah, just
huge schools
on
of
the
sharks.
Surface.
And then right underneath there is bonita, and then underneath them was a blackfin tuna.
And some of the biggest black fins I have ever personally seen.
Amazing
of.
Size of blackfin tuna. If they could get to them, the sharks just kept breaking, you know, cutting them off, because as soon as you had something on the line, the sharks would swing around. But that was amazing. I would love to get out. That was about 35 miles out, and you're going to be finding some big red grouper out there. There's bonita, blackfin tuna,
there's
sharks.
There's some big bull reds out there, too.
Amazing fishing out there.
The grunts and porgies are still doing well closer to the shoreline. Barracudas and permit have been sporadic off and on for the last couple weeks. You should even expect to possibly see some tarpon out there rolling around or coming by. It wouldn't surprise me if you saw a sailfish. This is usually the time of year when guys start to see sailfish out there.
Have we heard anything more? Just about the time we quit broadcasting for a while, there was tiger sharks out there. There was mako sharks. There was all kinds of crazy fish.
I've heard of one more report since then of another mako, and it was out at 28 miles, and the guy hooked it on a flat line waiting for a king or a cuda. And they got three jumps out of it before it finally broke off, and they guessed it at about 9 foot.
Wow.
You know, and I trust him because, I mean, he's pretty reputable.
Mm-hmm. But we forgot Lemon Bay. What's going on in Lemon Bay?
Lemon Bay's been hit or miss. It's been very inconsistent. The only thing that seems to be good is the snook at the mouths of the canals. Everything else up there has been.
And any day, any hour, they're going to be moving out to Stump Pass, Venice Inlet, I mean, along the beaches. These fish are all on their way right along the beaches. And I guess if I was going to go to the beach fishing or up by Stump Pass right now or that area, I'd walk out about knee deep, turn left or right, just start casting.
Right, exactly. Be working something slow, jigging it off the bottom.
I'd probably go old school, TT18 mirror lure. I like those for out there. They're a little bit bigger body of a twitch bait. It's not like a 17MR, which looks like a little white bait.
Right.
They're just a little bit bigger, more old school, but that's a great snook bait.
Yeah.
You know, the TTR11 or the TT18, either one of those would be really good. I'm interested to try our new rattle trap. We've got that.
See, that's what I would probably want to throw myself personally out there.
Oh, yeah. I was just sitting here thinking about it. I got one laying on my desk here. We got together with Rattle Trap and invented a new type of flats lure. And it's for shallow water. It's a shallow water rattle trap. But instead of twitching it with your rod down by the water like you would a mirror lure or a Sabeel or one of those, because let's face it, mirror lure, the MR17, the Sabeels, they've got that. They've done it as well as you could ever do it. You're not going to beat an MR17 for twitching on the flats.
Right.
But sometimes you do something different helps.
Absolutely.
And with this one, you jig it. You vertical, it's kind of jigging twitching, because you lift it as you jig. Instead of keeping your rod and going it flat, you lift it as you twitch it.
Right.
And it's a twitch bait that you do up, almost like jigging. And jigging twitching bait for the flats from Rattle Trap. And we've got some in right now. They're not properly marked because we've still been beta testing. but we've been through about 125 of them, and so far the guys are buying more. They've caught sharks on them and snook and everything else, and right along the beach, that might be a great one. We got the new colors coming in. What do you see the greenback looking one? Wes and I, the owner, Rattletrap, him and I have been working together on a lot of instant messaging, and he's making one, and it's a real nice greenback color.
Nice. So it's that'll be really cool to see.
And we're getting a white lady made, too.
Nice.
So we're going to have the original gold kind of, I don't know what color that is, but it's real flashy. It's got some great pattern to it. And then the white lady and the greenback one. And we're actually getting two greenbacks because he sent me a picture, one with holographic and one with a standard. And the holographic looks so good, I said, well, okay, I'm going to take that one, too. But I want to work on the standard one, a little more white on it, get it so it's got that little more greenback look, just a little silver on the sides, kind of white on the bottom, white with a shading to the top on green. It's gonna be
that's awesome.
Great little lure. And then you just throw it up on the flats and it sinks really, really, really slow, and just give it a little twitch up and a little twitch up and let it flutter back down. So, but anyway, back to that would be a good lure there.
As soon as you said Rattletrap, I'd jump on that in a skinny minute over any of them.
Yeah, it's going to be a great lure. Anyway, coming back down, just slide down the beach.
All the passes along the beaches right now have got some really, really good mangrove snapper in them. Still some scattered Spanish mackerel, an oddball king mackerel, miscellaneous sharks of assorted sizes, mostly on the smaller side. And the weird thing is, and it's out on the beaches, inside the passes, and definitely up inside the harbor. Now, there's been a lot of sandbar sharks around. That's probably something off the wall because, I mean, number one, sandbars are not usually recognized as an inshore species. They're more of an offshore shark.
Right.
They do venture in very close to shore in the late wintertime, you know, January, February, and even March. And you always have a few incidentals that have come in the harbor. You know, we've caught them over the years here and there, you know, 6 to 8 footers. But this year, there's still guys catching them from 4 to 8 feet consistently. Every day we're hearing of 1 to 4 sandbar sharks. Wow. And I'm getting pictures because I've been busting my butt to educate these guys to look for that dermal ridge, you know, to educate them to tell the difference between a bull and a sandbar. Because that's the only way to really 100% differentiate the two, because they look so similar. Between the dorsal and the secondary dorsal on their back, a sandbar shark has what they call a dermal ridge, and it's almost just like a little hump on their back, almost like a vertebrae.
Like the vertebrae extends out through the back.
Just a little narrow, thin line going right down there, and a bull shark does not have that. It's perfectly smooth, so that's a 100% identification mark of them. I had a Barry Baruti. He sent me a picture of two that he caught fishing off his dock. 6 footers.
Gee.
Kale caught like 3 yesterday. One was only about 4 foot. You know, and I've had several other people tell me about like 4 footers that they're catching inside the harbor, which is for them to be here this late is a little out of character. It wouldn't surprise me to have one here and one there.
But
when you're hearing one a day, two a day, it's surprising. Even Austin, they caught 3, a week and a half ago for his birthday off the beach.
Yeah.
The Port Charlotte beach. And they were like 5 footers.
Like I say, no rules, just guidelines this year.
Yeah, but sandbars, just it's pretty amazing because then to be out on the beach, Andrew and Mallory have been catching them consistently for the last couple weeks off the beach.
They're doing really good on that beach charter business of theirs. They're actually getting booked up pretty good. I mean,
yeah.
I think people are kind of into that whole thing where because they're on land, they bring the fish up on the land, they tag the sharks, and it's very hands-on. And, you know, you can take the whole family on the charter, you know.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but
down towards Captiva Pass, there's been a lot of gag grouper in there. Even though the season's closed, guys that are fishing for the snapper and looking for snook and some bigger reds, some of their incidental catches have been like 15 to 18 pound gags right there in the pass.
And I would have thought they would have been moved off already, but another one of those weird things.
Yeah, but gag grouper do tolerate freshwater because, I mean, gag grouper and Jewfish, Goliath grouper, those are two species that breed inshore. So it's not super out of character.
See, I'm not the only one who's politically incorrect. My kid listens to this, and he says, you know, he said, Dad, don't ever go on real radio. He said, you'll be thrown off and put in jail and sued.
Yeah, but
you're too politically incorrect.
Yeah, but Jewfish, I don't know. I don't agree with how they changed the name.
Yeah, I don't.
It's a whole other story, but it's still silly.
There's got to be 50,000 Jewish people have come through the stores here. I've never heard one of them worried about the name of a fish. I think the rest of the world has something better to do.
Yeah, exactly. There's been a few tarpon down in there, a lot of small sharks. The snook haven't quite moved into the passes in consistent numbers. There's been a few here and a few there, but nothing real serious. There has been some really nice bull reds being caught in those passes, though, at night. Some of the guys that have been out there just screwing around.
30-plus inches.
Yeah, they're screwing around either at sunset, just out there playing around for whatever, or they're actually targeting them. There's some good fish down there. And then down along the intercoastal down in Pine Island Sound, that's probably your best bet for, like, trout and redfish consistently. I mean,
yeah, outside of Pine Island, between there and the intercoastal and all that shallow water flats.
Yeah.
A lot of grass. It's the prettiest flats in the harbor.
And this time of year, it's phenomenal. I mean, once the wind lays down for a couple days down there, it's just like going over a swimming pool. I mean, one of the coolest things ever was with you down there one day when you took me behind the fish shacks in that shallow trough there.
Get back into where it's real skinny, and then you got those huge deep holes.
Yeah, and we saw that. Well, yeah, you saw it too, but I mean, I got to see it and watch it in awe. Was that about a 5-foot leopard ray? That leopard ray was just amazing. I mean, just to watch him glide along on top of all the other miscellaneous fish that were swimming around down there. I mean, it was literally like looking in an aquarium from standing on the deck of the boat.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I love it down there. It's you know, between the tailing flats over there by Placida, Wooden Creek area. I guess I shouldn't have plugged that thing in. It's making noises.
Right.
But I'm looking for... I just remembered that it might be on this phone. That's actually, it's probably on the one before that. I got another phone laying here. I got to charge up. I'm looking for... when I was at the oil spill, they wrote a song about me at the oil spill. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, remember that?
That's right, yeah.
I just happened to think about it.
Down into the St. James City area, going down to the Caloosahatchee, they are getting a few more tarpon semi-consistently down there. They haven't moved out off the end of Sanibel in any good numbers yet, but they are around down there. And then up towards Matlachet, there's been... the sheepshead have kind of pretty much moved out, but the redfish and a few Spanish mackerel, a few incidental trout, and a lot of small sharks all around there, around the Matlachet area. Moving up towards the north end of Pine Island, around Boquilla and all that, out there on the bars, there's some thread fins out there, a lot of pinfish on the grass flats, which has been bringing in some of the trout and Spanish mackerel. Even a few bigger bluefish, just not very many of them. Had a couple guys see some small juvenile tarpon, you know, 10 to 30 pounders swimming around out there.
Getting a few reports of some 80 and 100 pounders just outside the bar on the sunken islands there, and some nice big fish out there.
Yeah.
Really tough to get hooked up on. There's a little bit of white bait there around Jug Creek Shoals, some small gag grouper on the flat. Some ladyfish, some oddball trout, even some mackerel and stuff left. A lot of lizard fish. Boy, lizard fish are making a comeback.
Yeah,
wow.
Lizard fish are coming back with some ferocity.
But let's move over to Burntstor.
Burntstor and Two Pines. There's actually been a lot of tarpon over there cruising the bar. First thing in the morning, late in the evening, they're seeing some fish and hooking some fish with some semi-consistency. A couple fly fishermen were in here the other day, and they went down there and they stuck one, but they actually saw 6 fish. They worked at it for a few hours, but they ended up getting that one fish stuck. They caught a couple big trout. They saw some really pretty decent redfish, not giants, but they saw quite a few redfish cruising along the bar. There's been some guys getting some nice redfish wading out there on that south mangrove flat below Burntstor there. And then up right around the Burntstor channel, there's a lot of snook and redfish hanging right along the edge of the bar where it drops off just a little tiny bit.
Now, up on north of their Pirate Harbor and north, ton of ladyfish. There's some Spanish mackerel. There's some trout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get around Pirate Harbor and There's all kinds of smaller fish back up there, but a lot of bait fish, ladyfish, right. Even some whiting.
Some pinfish, a lot of those little grunts.
I mean, it's just a huge amount of bait up in there.
I had a guy call me about a big box fish that he caught over there the other day. Big one, like he said, bigger than his hand. He caught it on a little shrimp.
And the spiny boxfish is just as cool as it can be. It's like a cowfish, but with an alien cowfish. Not that a cowfish looks like a normal anything.
Yeah.
But they're going over there. Both Kale and Carl did pretty much identical trips the other day. They went over there. They caught a few fish on the backside. They each kept a couple ladyfish and went out and just caught a bunch of sharks right outside towards the middle hole. There's a lot of sharks out there.
Yeah, anybody with kids right now or some inexperienced fishermen want to just bend a rod and have a good time, there's 2 to 4 foot sharks scattered all over out there in the center of the harbor in the 20-foot holes and up to the Alligator Creek Reef.
And I would send them right over on the east side and just drift along that sandbar or anchor up and actually troll a couple lures like a little 14 bomber or a Rapala XR 8 or 10 and just troll along through there, or that small Maverick, always one of the ones I troll. But I go along there, and as soon as I hit a fish, I stop and catch some. And it's easier to find them when you're trolling because you're kind of looking for each other rather than waiting for them to find you.
Right.
But, and then grab yourself a couple ladyfish and then just, you know, have some fun in the smaller fish, kind of get into it, and then just zip right out and you can catch a bunch of sharks.
Mm-hmm.
Anything going on in Alligator Creek?
Pretty lousy. Some small trout still around, but not any numbers by any stretch. There's been a few redfish and mangrove snapper right at the entrance there on both sides of the mangrove shoreline there. Primarily a whole lot of stingrays moving around right around that whole mouth there. And then moving up kind of towards the skating rink, there is consistently starting every day seems to getting a little bit better and better with the redfish. You know, they're out there in that little bit of deeper water, that 3 foot range. They're not heavy numbers, but they're pretty good.
If you can get over the sandbar and get back up where the trees are, you can do real good on the redfish back there. The snook are actually doing okay back there.
Yeah. There's so many little creeks that feed out of there that it's pretty impressive, but you can almost never get in there.
Yeah, you got to be able to get over the sandbar, and that's double tough.
Yeah.
But we've had some 1.3, 1.5 tides, and that's usually what I look for me to get over that bar. Like this afternoon, well, the wind's blowing, on the northeast, I said?
Yeah.
Something like that? Yeah, you ain't getting over it today.
Probably not.
Yeah. Going out by the reef, heard small sharks.
Small sharks, a few oddball cobia, Spanish mackerel, but the thing is there's some big mangs moved on to it in the last week.
Really?
Yeah. Those springtime mangs that we were wondering about a couple weeks ago, they're late, but they just showed up. You know, those 1 to 1.5 pound fish. Pretty impressive, and they're scattered up and down the whole harbor, but they're in little groups.
Could you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hear it loud and clear.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
But you got to move around because they're just in little nuts. You know,
and there's some gag grouper out there on the reef from what I've heard of.
And some gags, a few Goliath, Jewfish.
I didn't hear anything. I was just seeing a few. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. I'm just kidding. I heard of the gag grouper out there. But up by the 41 bridge as we come back up. Oh, PGI canals.
PGI canals are loaded with juvenile tarpon everywhere. The black drums started to move in there. Here's another thing, too, we didn't talk about.
What's that?
The one little nut of black drum moved in from the Gulf through Little Gasparilla.
Oh, I heard about that.
But it's the first group. The big wad hasn't come in yet.
Now, there was a bunch down by Pirate Harbor about a week and a half ago, and they were doing the whole black drum spawning, boiling thing.
Right. But that was only about 100 fish. The 500 to 1,000 fish hasn't come in yet.
No.
You know, so any day now we're going to start hearing about them coming through, but there's still that one wad out there kind of moving around, and they've been actually kind of bouncing back and forth between Cape Hayes, Alligator Creek, and Pirate Harbor, kind of a little triangle there.
Yeah.
So the bigger black drum, a lot of guys up in the PGI canals are saying they're not hearing the black drum like they were. Only a handful of guys are seeing a few here and there. And I think the majority of them have started to move out to meet up with that other school. So you're going to probably see more and more fish moving out of those canals as far as the big black drum go. The little guys, the little 5 to 10 pounders, are going to probably stick around. But those 20 to 50 pounders are going to boogie out of there.
They're going to be in the middle of the harbor. And I'm going to be going out a lot because I want to
see that.
Yeah, I want to see it. I want to try and get some on videotape. We're trying to get a video thing going here on fishandfranks.com. And we're going to start our own video how-to stuff and video where-to and how-to and all that. And I really want to see that this year.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. It'd be pretty neat.
Anyway.
The mangrove snapper have been a little slow. It seems like the most action along PGI has been basically the first 100 or 150 yards of each canal. You know, you work your way up, fish it, fish the docks, fish the middle of the channel, experiment, and then come right back out and go out. Unless you're going in there at night or real early in the morning and slow trolling along the edges of the canal. Some guys have been picking up some pretty steady snook in there doing that, along with some like 5 to 10 pound jacks. Not great numbers, but good quality fish.
Yeah. Oh, there have been jacks up by 75 too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think we've kind of covered around the harbor. Kind of nice to be back. We're going to be updating the actual place-by-place report here in just a little while. But anything else you can think of that we got to do?
No, I think we kind of covered it pretty thorough.
Okay.
I'm sure we missed a couple oddball things, but I think it's just nice to be back and get in the routine of things again.
All right. Well, I guess this is Fish and Frank. That's Robert in the chair across from me. And this is one of us playing guitar.
Guess who?
I don't know. Can you touch your nose?
Nope.
Well, it must be you then. So anyway, yes, as we get on, we'll actually get this more organized. But anyway, I don't really know where else to go with this except...
We'll be back very soon with another report.
I guess that was goodbye music.
There you go.
Okay. Anyway, we'll see
Skipping
you guys.
Off into the sunset.
Yeah. We'll see you guys on the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.